From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Today is the deadline for those subpoenaed in the George Washington Bridge scandal in New Jersey to hand over any relevant emails, text messages, or other documents. And many have already asked for extensions.
Meanwhile, as investigators have been sifting through the material already received, Governor Chris Christie's Republican allies were out in full force this weekend defending him on the Sunday talk shows. Here's former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
So far, there's no evidence to suggest that he's not telling the truth. I think the governor knows the consequences. If he's lying, it's a really bad situation. If he's not lying, then something very unfair is being done to him. So let's see what happens.
Well, just yesterday, Christie was invited to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference in March after being excluded from that event last year. NPR Digital Politics editor Charlie Mattesson is here. And Charlie, take that up first. What's going on here? Did Chris Christie only have to get bad press from the mainstream media in order to win over conservative Republicans?
Well, I think you're right there, Robin. I think the principle that applies here is probably the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And there's really no quicker way to win over the right than to look like the victim of a pile-on by what many conservatives view as a left-wing media and state legislative Democrats. So it's a good way to get in good with the right.
Yeah, well, let's recap to what's happened most recently. A letter was released on Friday from the lawyer of Christie's former ally, David Wildstein. He's the person who closed the lanes and then resigned. The letter said that they had evidence that Governor Christie knew about the lane closures. Now, the language of the letter is very important in the first hours when this was released.
Yeah, when you think of the ebb and flow of this scandal, this was a really big deal Friday because things had been quiet, and then all of a sudden there's this bolt out of the blue. And not just a small turn of the screw, but really something that seemed like a bombshell, that there was possibly hard evidence that directly contradicted what Governor Christie had said about his role in this by now famous press conference a while back. But I think the problem was that maybe the initial reports got a little bit ahead of themselves, because I think as people paid closer attention and parsed the language and the way the letter had characterized what evidence was out there, I think at that point it began to raise, there was a strategic dimension to the release of the letter that upon further scrutiny began to raise questions about what exactly Wildstein was saying and exactly what evidence he had that tied the governor to the closures.
Right, because the first reporting, I believe it was in the New York Times, correct me if I'm wrong, was that he knew about the closings, not that there might be evidence showing that he knew about the closings. And of course, Chris Christie's allies jumped on that, you know, as bad reporting, as you said, getting ahead.
Right. And I think what you saw in the aftermath of that was after this bolt of the blue comes out, the New York Times, among other news outlets, had to change the way they characterize it in subsequent iterations of those stories that came up on the web.
Yeah. Well, New Jersey Assemblyman John Wineski, who is the Democrat leading the investigation, said on CBS's Face the Nation that any talk of resignation is way too premature.
We don't have enough facts to even get to that conversation. We need to get all the facts on the table. We need to make decisions about who knew what when. And when that's done, maybe it might be appropriate at that time to have that conversation. But clearly, we're way ahead of that right now.
No, but we heard the nervousness of Mayor Giuliani. We heard David Brooks, conservative columnist on All Things Considered, say on Friday, if there's any truth to this, then Chris Christie is not a presidential candidate. So what's going on behind the scenes?
Well, I think the bottom line assumption is that if there's truth, if there's direct evidence that he knew, and then it's game over for Governor Christie. But what we're beginning to see now is some Christie pushback, not just from conservative voices, but also over the weekend we saw the governor's office send out an email to political supporters titled, Five Things You Should Know About the Bombshell That's Not a Bombshell. And that was designed to raise questions about David Wildstein's character and credibility. And as you mentioned earlier, Robin, today's the deadline for the first batch of subpoenaed documents to arrive. And so, you know, that's the next step in this process, and that'll go on for the next couple of weeks. And then I think probably the most interesting thing to watch or at least listen to will be tonight when the governor is scheduled to take questions from New Jersey residents on the Ask the Governor radio show, and that goes on tonight.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned the letter that Chris Christie put out in response, because I heard a lot of Republican analysts over the weekend say, mistake, that is the mistake of a rookie who hasn't yet been through a presidential race. He should have let it just be quiet. Something comes out on a Friday, just let it, you know, be quiet. But of course, that'll be debated. Let's turn to Congress, where House Republicans recently wrapped up a retreat laying out principles for future immigration reform, for instance. President Obama said in an interview on Friday with CNN, He was encouraged by standards put out by the Republican leadership. Tell us more about what's going on here.
Well, what came out of the retreat was that naturally immigration reform was the subject of considerable discussion, and the end product was that the House Republican leadership team introduced a series of four broad immigration principles that are going to or that are designed to serve as a blueprint for guiding their debate. And those four principles involve securing the border more effectively and enforcement, expanding the number of visas for skilled and unskilled foreign workers, implementing a workable electronic employment verification system, and probably most important, the idea of coming up with a solution for the 11 million immigrants who are in the country with now with no legal status, but something that still stops short of the citizenship that's been approved by the Senate. And so one way that you can look at what happened or what came out of the retreat was that the release of these principles is almost something akin to a trial balloon for members of the House Republican Conference.
Well, we should quickly mention that there's still a rogue wing in the Republican Party right now that does not want to compromise. Congressman Paul Ryan said as much yesterday.
The other concern that people have in our party is they don't want to see us get into conference with the Senate and then compromise to a bad law. We won't let that happen because we've already said we won't go to the conference with the Senate. And so this is not one of those issues where it has some kind of a deadline behind it, like, say, a government shutdown, which forces us into a compromise we might not like to take.
So NPR digital politics editor Charlie Mattesian, this is not all kumbaya.
No, not at all, Robin. The first step, I think, is to figure out exactly where the House GOP stands on this issue. Because while leadership is amenable to an immigration overhaul, that's not an opinion that's universally held among all House Republicans. And the debate, to some extent, I think, is going to be shaped by the political calendar. You know, it remains an extremely contentious issue, and there's lots of Republicans that don't want to have any debate or a vote until after candidate filing deadlines pass or primaries pass.
Yeah. Charlie Mattesian giving us sort of a wrap-up and a look ahead of the week. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, Robin.